Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. In this message of our series, Remembering the Second Coming of Jesus, we will examine the issue around the signs of His coming. So let's listen to Dr. Neufeld as we go to our text in Matthew chapter 24 verses 1 to 35.
In this short one-week series about the second coming of Jesus, we have seen that we should not be taken in by those who predict the date of Christ's coming. You know, and I also made it clear that we should eagerly await the second coming of Jesus. That was the theme of 2 Peter 3. Don't adopt the attitude of the cynic that this thing will never happen. And then from Daniel 7, we've seen that Jesus will come after all the beasts of the earth have ruled for their 1 hour. And then after the final beast, Jesus will then set up his kingdom, his empire that will have no end. But today I want us to examine the very difficult matter of the signs of his coming. Are there clear signs that we're living in the last days? Now, if you've been following this series, you heard me say that the time from the first to the second coming of Jesus is called the last days. And that's how the phrase the last days or the end times is used in the New Testament. But sometimes when we use the words the end times, people mean by that, do you think that the generation that's now alive will witness the second coming of Jesus? Is that hour upon us now? See, in order to answer that, we need to ask whether there are specific Bible prophecies that are being fulfilled in our day. Examples that some use will include the reformation of the nation of Israel after 2,000 years, or the movement towards a global economy and thus a one-world government. And some argue that the movement towards a cashless economic system and so forth. Are these kinds of things legitimate reasons to believe that we are now seeing what some call the prophetic calendar moving forward? In order to answer that, I have decided to do a brief study of Matthew 24, and if you don't know it, it's a kind of foundational text upon which much of our view of the end times is actually formed. So let me give some background. Jesus taught what is recorded in Matthew 24 during Passion Week. That means he taught it on that week in which he was crucified. He was crucified on a Friday, and what is recorded in Matthew 24 was taught on that Tuesday. He had arrived in Jerusalem during Passover on Sunday, Sunday we now call Palm Sunday. The crowds had cheered him as the long-expected Messiah, and Jesus' disciples were taken up in the enthusiasm. They expected that the end times were upon them then, and Jesus would begin his messianic reign. But on that Tuesday, Jerusalem was filled with controversy as religious leaders of the Jews spent the day disputing with Jesus. The city was in an uproar. As Jesus and his disciples left the temple that Tuesday evening and were going away, the disciples pointed out the beauty of the temple. And Jesus responded by saying, "Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Now I imagine everyone's head snapped around and they must have stared at Jesus, hardly knowing what to say. They had expected Jesus to come to Jerusalem to claim the kingdom, and now he was speaking about the destruction of the temple, which must mean a cataclysm and the coming of a Holocaust against the Jews, and all of that sounded apocalyptic. What was going on? And so we come to Matthew 24, verse 3. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?" Clearly, the things that Jesus had been saying left the disciples with questions about the great coming day of the Lord. See, a great number of Bible commentators have seen the parallel between Jesus leaving the temple on that Tuesday and the glory of God leaving the temple in the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament just prior to its destruction by the Babylonian army. Jesus leaving the temple in his day symbolized that the temple would now be destroyed. In effect, that's what Jesus said. Israel had rejected their Messiah. The glory has departed from the temple, and not one stone will be left standing upon another. And the disciples were amazed. If this is what was coming, then surely the end of the age was at hand. So Matthew 24, 4-7 records what happened next. And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are but the beginning of the birth pains. See, it's clear what Jesus is doing. The disciples were thinking of the end of the world, and Jesus is telling them that the hour is further off than they thought. They shouldn't look at every war and every famine or every earthquake as a signal of the end. These are merely birth pains. See, I remember when Kathy was pregnant with our first, and we were living in Saskatoon and had taken a stroll along the banks of the South Saskatchewan River. She was very pregnant, and we were a long distance from where we had parked the car, and suddenly, for the first time, she felt a contraction. It was the first time she ever felt one, and I, in panic, thought that I would be delivering my baby by myself and washing it off on the shores of the river. It was not to be. The birth of the baby was still weeks away. And that's the image. The convulsing of the earth is a sign that the end is coming. It just might be longer than you think. And then Jesus mentions, to continue with our image, five labor pains or five signs that the end is coming, but they might be further off than we imagine. Let's run through all five of these signs. First, Jesus said there will be false messiahs. Second, he mentions wars in various places, and when we hear him say that, it seems to us that things are carrying on as before. Yes, they are, but war is a sign that the end is coming. Third, persecution. Jesus promised that his followers would be put to death. He says so in verse 9, where he says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Please notice here that Jesus is anticipating that his gospel will go to all the nations and that in some circles, his followers will be put to death for his name's sake. Jesus promised that his followers would be persecuted and hated and killed by many. And Paul thought that was a privilege. He said so in Philippians 1:29, where he says, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." Persecution happened at the very foundation of the church. Jesus was persecuted. Not only was Jesus falsely put to death, so were his followers. Acts 4 records how Peter and John were put in prison. Acts 6 records the death of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. He was stoned to death. Acts 12 records the martyrdom of the first of the 12 disciples, James, put to death by the sword. History records that the apostle Paul was beheaded and Peter was crucified. 11 of the 12 disciples died a martyr's death. The first several hundred years of the Christian church record a story of terrible suffering. But that story still goes on today. See, I've been asked whether the beheading of Christians by ISIS in Syria is a sign of the end times, or the massive persecution against believers all over the world in unprecedented manner is a sign of the end. And I respond by saying it's a birth pain that tells us that the end is yet to come, and it will surely come. Now, the fourth birth pain, and it's called apostasy, or the falling away from the faith. Listen to Jesus in verses 10 to 13. "And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." See, I notice that the temptation to fall away comes from different sources. It comes from persecution. It comes because heresy is taught and it's tolerated. And it comes because a lawless, licentious culture tells us we don't have to hold to the ethics of a believer. But here Jesus reminds us that we must endure to the end. Faithfulness to the end is a mark of the ones who have been of the elect of God. And then a fifth birth pain. Worldwide gospel proclamation. Listen to verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Now, I love this verse. In spite of all the above, Jesus said, the gospel will still advance. It would happen right alongside of evil. And that, by the way, is what's happening right now. Now, what did Jesus mean when he said this? See, some Bible teachers believe that every language must have a Bible and then the end will come. And others argue that every ethnic group should have a church within their culture. Others, every people grouping should hear the gospel in their own language. And others say that it means the gospel will become global. Well, here's a little secret. It's not entirely clear what Jesus meant because he didn't specify exactly what he meant. Only that his gospel and church would reach unprecedented levels, and then he said the end would come. So it seems to me that the only sign of the end times, that the end is very near, is unprecedented expansion of the gospel. More about that when we come back.
Like the disciples, we too might wonder whether all the events and the things happening in our world and in the church are real signs that point to his coming in our generation. Are all those predictions about the end times that we hear helpful, or do they sow seeds of confusion? When we come back, we will examine a prophetic test case for knowing whether we are really in the last days. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God.